So this morning, just want to share a few things with you. First, as we prepare our church for the future, we are in the process right now of selecting shepherding elders that will coach, mentor, and watch over the members of the congregation. And they're going to be required to work as a team with the senior elders and one another. So let me pose a question to you. Besides their gifting and skills, how important do you think their character is? 100. That's very good, Angie. We're going to give Angie a gold star today for that, okay? All right. Because their gifting and skills, they may be important, but without character, the success and the success of others is at question. We need to have character. Now, what's character? Well, that's something that's pretty much missing in a lot of people today. So consider that one important asset of a great leader is that they be a model for the people in their sphere of influence. Nothing works better for raising children than modeling. Nothing works better for discipling people than modeling. Those are the things you have to have. As Jesus, what did he do? He modeled. He went, watch me. This is what I say. This is what I do. Come, let's do it together. And then he would say, okay, now go do it on your own and then come back and let me know how it's going. And that was the process that he used. So among the changes we're making is also the biblical training of elders and mentoring of our own elders, new elders coming in. And thinking back over the years of ministry, I've worked with a number of elders. Some of them are still here today. And as I began to think of the difficulty that the Apostle Paul and Peter had with people and leadership growing up, I started thinking back and I said, you know, we had the same kind of problems. But, you know, we weren't unique. We were having the same kind of issues and problems. In fact, it got so bad one time that I had to go to two of the elders and I had to say to them, look, we can't meet in my home anymore. We're done. Because the way you speak, the way you yell, the way you talk, my daughter believes that you hate me. And she believes that you're evil. I said, I'm not going to let that happen. I sat there, I said, I had to spend a half an hour with my daughter telling them that you're good men. And I said, this can't continue. And we had to make some changes there. It was brutal. But then when I think about the present elders, I smiled. What a pleasure to work with them. If I could put it this way, I do have to say that, yeah. Certainly, as I was thinking about this, I kind of made a note here that church memories came, long forgotten and buried in the seas of forgiveness and forgetfulness, were dredged up that I noticed we were so much like the people in the Bible. How about that? Then I thought of the recent times and our present elders, and as I said, I smiled. What a difference. Working with men who are mature in character, have no personal agenda but to serve the Lord. Can you imagine a group of men coming together in a board meeting, for example, or in a church meeting, and come together and with no agenda to change your life, to bend to their will? That's the way it needs to be. We need to be here, but came to serve the Lord. And that's one of the things you always have. Everybody has an idea. We ought to do this. We ought to do that. But then it gets pressed and it gets pushed. And, you know, it's. It's not God. So, people like this are red light keeps going off. I'm not going to touch it. It's the battery. Do we have another mic, folks? Just
check.
Ta-da. Our administrator's on it. Look at that. Amen. Let's give Joanne a hand there. Hey, we got it. All right. Not so bad, Joanne. It's good. And by the way, my wife, Terry, is not with me tonight because she's going through a trial and been going through it all week. And I'm believing that, you know, we pray for her. She's doing better, but we need to get her through this. She'll be fine, I think, by time I get home tonight. Amen. So again, what's the difference? What change has happened between the past and the present in myself and in our leadership? What took place? Why is it so much better right now, working with the people we work together with? Because you see, things change with us. And we aren't the same people we were 30 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 10 years ago. And I hope not even 6 months ago. Because we're actually called into a continual change into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the difference is that this group of people let the Holy Spirit do a work in them. You know, God can speak to your heart and you can go with the Lord and you say, okay, Lord, here I am. You get in the Word of God and then God shows you something. And you know that you need to change something. Now, the question is, will you let Him change it? See, this would always comes down to this. You can always point it to another person. You can always say it's the environment. You can always have an excuse, or you can submit yourself to God and you can change. So I want to move on in my message here with this. A while back, God made a decision when He made man in His image and likeness, but He did something with us which is quite interesting. He gave us different personality types. You ever notice that? We're all different. We have different personality types. And I remember we used to do this disc program, which is a good program. And really what it is, it's a personality model. And it's an acronym, D-I-S-C. But D for dominance, I for influence, S for steadiness, and C for conscientiousness. Now, one thing I want to say, no one is one thing. We all have different elements of this thing in us. So I want to just talk about this. I'm a high DI. That's the last time I took the test. I have the feeling today that if I took that same DISC profile, I would come out a high ID. and probably a lot higher on the S and the C. So what's the difference? Well, people with deep personalities tend to be confident, and they place emphasis on accomplishing things. Get to the bottom line. What are we going to do? We've got to have action. We've got to do something. We've got to make it happen. I want to tell you something. This world would be boring without D's. It really would. Why? Because D's and I's are innovative. I remember my late wife saying, "You could wear out 10 people." Now, she was right. That was my personality at that particular time, was you're moving things, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're getting things going. So you wouldn't have jobs without D's and I's. We'd all be sitting around thinking about, well, you know, this is pretty good. Now, when a S sees a D, they say, "I wish they weren't here," you know, but it works out. But anyway, we go down and you have, I'm just doing a real quick thing on this. So we have people with I personalities. They tend to be more open, place more emphasis on relationships, influencing and persuading others. And people with the S personalities tend to be dependable, and they place the emphasis on cooperation and sincerity. And then people with C personalities tend to place the emphasis on quality, accuracy, expertise, and competency. Now, one thing I love about elders is they balance one another out. That's what we do when we work together in love. You balance one another out. We all have one thing in common with all of the personality types. Guess what? They all have positives, and they all have negatives. Now, what about the negatives? If you take the negatives and you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you match the negatives in these various personalities with the fruits of the flesh, you're going to find out that they match up. So in other words, it's character. When you look at this, when you see the negative end, it's character. When you see the positive end, well, it's not always God, but it's qualities that are good. They're good qualities. But now you have the, how would we say it in the marriage seminars that we conduct? It goes something like this. This looks really good, but everybody has a back end. You know, we have this little picture of this little dog called Odie. And Odie is there, just cute little thing. And then it says, but Odie has a back end. Now, you know what that means, right? You got to clean up after that puppy, as cute as he may be. And that's the way it is. And that's the way people are. But question is, should it be that way? Should it actually be that way? Can we just go along with things and do the same thing? Again, it's not so important to be the winner as a high D would like to be, and sometimes a high C. But when you finish winning, there's nobody around you, nobody standing, and nobody wants to come back and do anything with you anymore. In other words, you've accomplished what you tried to accomplish, but the mess that you've left behind in how you've handled this, and because of your personality traits or your negatives, the fruit of the flesh that's still in you, that gets messed up. So I want to move on to pass this for a moment, and no more on the D's for a moment. And we just had a vote before. If faced with a choice, I would always take character. Okay, well, let me give you this. Just recently, I had a discussion with another church leader about another ministry leader. And this ministry leader, they knew for many years before, and he had gone from one job to another job to another job in this particular denomination. And so as he was going on, he was talking about how much hurt and pain he had caused the people that he worked with. And then he said, "But he's a good person." Well, then he continued the conversation, and some additional negative consequences were brought to light once again, followed by he was an excellent administrator. And I said to him, at that point, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, yes, of course. I said, if this individual has created so much conflict in the last positions that he is, how can he be good? How can he be a good leader? So he looked at me. And then the thought I shared were, without character, all the talent in the world is not worth the cost of being criticized and marginalized. And I want to say, for good news, eventually he got fired. So that's the good news. But the damage that he did to children and other people, it's crazy. Talented. Oh, this guy is greatly talented. And he's accomplished some things, but by the time he's done with it, the bodies are laying all over the place. So, again, let's go to Romans 12 for a moment. And that's where our message is coming from today. That's where I've been heading with all of this introduction. That's the introduction, okay? And Romans 12, 1 begins, therefore, I urge you, brethren. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, it means what? For this reason, does it not? For this reason. You ought to stop reading your Bible for a moment and say, well, for what reason? And go back to see what you read before and try to figure out where the writer is going, where the Holy Spirit is taking him. So as I looked at that, and then, by the way, same thing if you see an if or a but, stop and start thinking about what if? Well, if every promise just comes about with an if, there's conditions. We want the blessing without the conditions. We want the fruit without the labor. It doesn't work that way in life. And we all know that. So I look back, and I can't read the whole thing here, but let's take a look at Romans 11 for a moment, verses 1 through 5. And the apostle writes this way, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be, for I too am an Israelite, descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. And he goes on to say in verse 3, Lord, they've killed your prophets, they've torn down your altars, and I alone am left. But what he goes on to say is, now we have a remnant. There's a remnant left. God hasn't completed. But I want you to hear this word remnant. What does remnant, when you go to a store that sells remnants, what are they selling? Something that's left over from whatever the product was originally. So it's good to be a remnant, but it's very bad not to be the original part of what was there. It means you're gone. It means you've paid a price for your behavior and your actions, as they did here in Romans. And he goes on in Romans to say, but if some of the branches were broken off. Now, why is he saying that? See, there's a problem now in the church. What's the problem? Problem's pretty simple. The church gets it. By grace through faith, they've been saved. We've got it all by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all of the blessings of Abraham are ours. We got the whole package. And then dumb Jews lost out on it. Look at that. Now, Paul's addressing this. He says, now, wait a minute. You forget where you are and who you are as a Christian. And what he's telling him is this, that if the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree were grafted among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, Israel is the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. But if you're arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. And you'll say then, oh, branches were broken off, so I might be grafted in. Quite right. Yeah, that's the way it is. But they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Don't be conceited, but fear. Now, what we're having now is a warning given to the church. And well, you say, well, is our church like that? We're all like this if we aren't careful. The thing is, you can say, I have this now and I got this through grace. But what you're forgetting now is you stand in your grace by faith. And Romans 5 is a perfect verse there. It says that we enter into now having through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the blessings of God, and now we stand now in this grace by faith. So in other words, our faith, we're believing God for what we don't deserve, folks. That's what it comes down to. We didn't earn it. It was given to us. It's a blessing to us. But we have to remember, the faith that we have has to continue. We need to continue in the faith in Christ. If you, I think it's 1 Corinthians, if I remember the Greek here, it says to this thing, and for those who are being saved, the gospel's foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is salvation to those who are being saved. If you look at it, is salvation to what? To those who were saved, those who are saved, and those who are continuing to be saved. So we continually walk in our salvation, and we shouldn't forget that. That one time that you came to the altar, that one time that God brought you to your knees, that you repented and all, that's the beginning of a new life. But now this life is lived in the family of God, for God, with God. And we got to be very careful about this, especially in the time we live in right now. So we go on, and he makes this point. For, quite right, you've broken off for their unbelief, but you stand. In other words, first of all, what the people are saying is they have an arrogance about them. Well, the branches were broken off that we might be grafted in. We're all set. He says, quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Don't be conceited, but fear. We read that. And he goes on to say, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. What do you do with that? It depends on what you are. If you belong to certain Baptist denominations, groups, or other fundamental groups, what you'll do is this. You have in their theology, you've added something in, and they'll say, this is not about salvation. Well, what's it about? What are we talking about here? So it's not redemptive is the term. It's not redemptive. Well, I don't know that it's not redemptive, but the point is, if you can look at John 15, the vine and the branches, and you can see what God has to say about you as a branch, and you look at this and you look at several other paths, I think we ought to get a holy fear of God and realize that we weren't saved for ourselves. We were saved for him. And we were saved to do what he's called us to do. We're his possession for his purpose. And I think most of us kind of think, well, this is great. I'm going to heaven one day. I got this ticket. You know what? I believe, by the way, I believe in, in that salvation is forever. In other words, I'm not an Arminian. I'm more Calvinistic in my thinking than I would be Arminian in my thinking. Arminianism is that when you sin, you lose your salvation and you got to come back to the Lord, and you're separated by your sin. And that's basically what you have in, well, for example, Catholic Church. That's what you would have in some Pentecostal churches, this Arminian theory. And then you have the Calvinistic viewpoint. Calvin says, Calvin doesn't say it, but those who follow him say, you can't lose your salvation. And we'll pull a scripture out, no one can take you out of my hand. Well, that's true, but then we have to read through the Bible, and we find that that's not exactly how it's looking at it. In fact, we have to realize that there's a sin that's a sin unto death, the sin which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So somebody, that sin is not receiving Jesus. Well, there's an argument for that. But then you have to deal with the other issues. Now, I want to tell you what happened here one day. One day I was preaching along these lines, and we had a new visitor. A woman came into the church and her husband, family. And anyway, at the end of the service, as I walked through the door, she said, I want to talk to you. She said, you know, I heard everything you said, but I didn't like what you said here, but I like what you said here. So I said, you do realize that everything that I said, I quoted directly from the scripture. She said, yes, but I'm a follower of John MacArthur. I said, well, that's good. Follow him. I follow Jesus. You should do the same thing. You know, the whole point is we look for the simple way out to do the least that we can do, to set back and let just coast rather than press in to the scriptures and let God work his life into ours. So finally, we come down here, and again, it's a warning to believers, verse 21, 11, 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he'll not spare you either. And then he says, behold then the kindness and the severity of God. See, God is sovereign. And what does it say? To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If, there comes that word again, these little words. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise, you will be cut off. Now, what do you do with that? Believe it. And keep walking with Jesus. Don't worry about it. Keep walking with the Lord. That's the whole point. Always live ready. You need to do that. Now we come to Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, and people make a big deal out of this. The renewed mind, I don't know how many books there are on the renewed mind, but there's got to be 100 of them out there that are written. I almost wrote one myself, but after I saw that there were so many books out there, so why write it? Everybody said everything they could say just about the renewed mind. And he says, therefore, that's that therefore that we started with, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Well, you see, now we know what the therefore is. They failed, and you are being arrogant and saying that you're better than them. And what I'm saying to you is watch what you do. Pay attention. He said, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I think that's pretty clear, but what God's saying to you and to me is that we owe him my life. That's why I told you that story about the Korean fellow, potential. What is it? What will he be? And if he marries my daughter, my granddaughter, Ella, he's going to be my, what is he going to be? Grandson-in-law. This gets complicated, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. So, at any rate, what we're looking at here is this. We're looking at the need here to be transformed, and we're recognizing that God's telling us that that's the least we owe him is ourselves. That's number one. And then he says, notice this, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, it's kind of interesting. And then he goes on to say, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So here we are walking by faith again. But here's the thing. Yesterday I wore a T-shirt. It said something along these lines. Have you read my bestseller? And then it said, there will be a test. God. So that was, you know, one of those little billboard shirts. Anybody remember those? They had the old down south, all of these billboards. So that was the shirt. And I got to thinking this morning, that shirt is incorrect. There isn't going to be a test when I die. The test is now. The test is now. Now is the time that we have to prove our transformation. As you look at this scripture here, what he's saying here, that you be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove, show to be true by testing in the original language in the Greek. Show to be true by what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and purpose and perfect. And how do you do that? You learn to walk by faith. And here's what I mean by that. When you come across something and you need change, you realize that you can go out and buy a self-help book. It's not going to help you much. You'll go back and forth. But if you believe God to make that change in your heart, if you believe God to take this thing away from you, if you hold fast to God in this thing, he'll do it. It may be a battle, but he'll do it. He'll change you. He'll change your personality. And that's what he wants to do. He's changing personalities here. He's changing character here. And the only way we can do that is if we personally submit to him. And he says, we cannot have, you can't have an attitude, the attitude that the Gentile believers had, not towards the Jews, but by the way, it was mostly towards the Jews that didn't believe in Jesus. And by the way, didn't Luther do that? Didn't Hitler use Luther's stuff to persecute the Jews, you know? And didn't the church turn against the Jews because now the Bible was written and they could all read it in whatever language it was there? No. That's exactly what happened. But what he's saying here, it's those, that, what I'm saying, these. So they were saying, we believe, so we're better than you. Well, you believe by grace through faith. God called you. God elected you. God brought you to himself. You made a confession of faith, but I want to tell you, you can't do that without seeing it, and only God can give you, the Holy Spirit can let you see that. So again, we have to have a different attitude. So I want to say this here. We're to exercise sound judgment, not thinking more highly of ourselves than others. Notice this. I'm going to close with this. We're getting there. Not yet. Almost closing. If we look at this, we find here that God is trying to get us to see ourselves as he sees us. That's what this is all about in this passage. Now, what is God saying here as we go through this? So we go through and he said, have sound judgment. What is the judgment? As God has allotted to each that measure of faith, that's how we transform. And I'm going to go to verse 4. For just as we have many members in the body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of it. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of our faith. In service, in serving. He who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We are one necessary and important part. We are a necessary and important part of the body of Christ. That's what we are, each one of you. So, I mean, if you come in this church and right now you come in and you've been in another church and you've been serving there and you've got a good reputation, we're not going to say to you, sit here for 3 years, sit here for a year. We want you to be able to work in the gift that God's given you because you came here for a reason. God has a purpose for you. What I'm saying to you is that says we need you. And guess what else it says? We need one another. That's a very important thing. We need one another. So that's an important thing to think out. And we have to have an attitude that's not, as like he says here, not to be like, think more highly of ourselves than we should, but recognize the value of each individual, including our own children and the fellow members of our spiritual community. So there's a need then for personal relationships. See, especially in raising children, we've raised, my late wife and I raised 6 children, and my present wife, she worked with 7 kids, and 4 of them were her own. So when you look back at this, you see that we have a responsibility to our children. But children have gifts. I'm reading more and more about how God's using children these days. It's really amazing. We need to be able to teach them, model to them, encourage them. Not just read them stories, but explain the stories. Put them into the stories. Take them for a journey with you in the story if you can. That would be very helpful. And then he goes on to say here in Romans 12, see, this is where the test comes. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what's evil, cling to what's good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil. And I want to say this to you. Look, you can't do this without personal contact. It's impossible. Now, there are a few things you can do in here, but a Zoom meeting doesn't make for a church meeting. It doesn't make for a relationship. You can build somewhat of a relationship. I know people who built a relationship on the telephone and then wound up getting married. You know, those things happen. So it is an element there. But here, you got to be down where the nitty-gritty is, where people are. I mean, I passed today on the road coming down. It happened sometime last night or after 5 p.m., I don't know when, but there was an accident on 93 coming down. And I noted that I saw the skid marks this morning as I came down, and I noticed the cross just a bit beyond there. And I thought to myself, well, from between now and then, we had this, you know, this horrific accident. In fact, the car must have hit. Well, it did hit. You know how they have these barriers, and then they come to an end? It went right into the end of the barrier, whatever it was, car or truck. And I couldn't help but looking at that and saying, I prayed for the family. I don't know who it is. I couldn't read the cross at the speed I was traveling. But I prayed for the family. I prayed. But then I thought to myself, you know, here I am going to church. That person's life means something to somebody, but it's not going to affect me today. It's not going to affect you today. Why is that? Because you don't know him. You don't know them. You don't know about them. They're not part of your life. And so when you read through Romans, what we're saying here is the sharing a life together. Making some things that, you know, happen like we've have in the past. That's why I'm so blessed with some of the elders we have and friends I have in here now. I have friends in the church. Yes, I can be a pastor and I can be your friend. And that can, and it's good to have friends that are really close friends because you can, you know, pastors go through issues too. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that or not. No, we just kind of sail over everything and look down. No, folks. No, it gets real for all of us. You know, let's not fool ourselves. So again, how can I rejoice with those who are rejoicing if I don't know what they're rejoicing about? You follow where I'm coming from here? There's a blessing and there's a pain in relationships. The pain is the pain of hurt and loss. But here's the thing. If we can get to the place in the church where if our enemy is hungry, we feed him. If he's thirsty, we give him a drink. And so doing, it help heap burning coals on their head. And we're not overcome by evil, by good. So many of these commands, they are commands here in Romans 12, 9 through 18. You read them yourself. All of these commands require some personal interaction. When I see somebody I know and I know them and they're having a baby and all, it's a blessing. You know, you get in there and you can feel the excitement. I can get excited about their baby. Does that make sense to you? I mean, that's not because I'm a pastor, right? That works with you too? Yeah, so that's kind of like human, you know, what I'm saying to you? So I want to leave you with these thoughts today that we need to rethink and rediscover what God really wants from us individually, what church is all about. We ought to recognize that church is failing in America, not because we don't have good preachers, not because we don't have good doctrine, but we have a faux type of church compared to what's in the Word of God. And what we're doing here, and that's, you know, why one of the reasons, what we're doing here is trying to work around and change that. And I recognize that it's going to be difficult for us because we know one way. And now God says, okay, let's do this. This is the Word of God. I'm not making this up, folks. I'm not making it up. It's there. And we'd like to avoid it at times. Why? Because it requires something of us. But isn't that why God saved us? For His purpose? So let's get with God and let's get going. Let's stand together. Amen.